Is it a dumb game, or am I just dumb?
What's dropping?
If you are looking for relevant gaming coverage from experts, you are not getting it on this show.
Well, new fan favorite for the podcast is updates on my dating life, and I understand why. It's an attractive proposition to be dating someone like myself. And lucky gal last weekend got a chance to take a ride on the Chris Hobby horse. that isn't sexual in any way. there was no coitus. Nothing like that.
A rarity.
Yeah, I mean,
usually, I mean, you count the minutes until you seal the deal on a date.
They call me the closer around this part of town.
when you swing in the half doors of the local Starbucks,
that's right.
The bartender whispers that there be the closer. He's arrived.
And then you hear just puddles forming beneath the stools of girls everywhere. In the
snail trails form and congeal.
They just get so wet. I mean, how can they help themselves when they see?
And boners too. There's boners galore.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, usually I enter full mast. I try to make myself like I announce my arrival first with the bell end, and then with, you know, with my actual body.
That's how you present yourself, like a peacock.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's irresistible. Simply irresistible. Simply irresistible. The date last weekend was, it was phenomenal. I had a wonderful time. Met at a cozy little cafe midway between my house and hers. Now, last week we discussed shitty dates and how you sort of count down the minutes until you just want to get the fuck out of there. But how you and I are troopers about this, and we'll sit there until the bitter fucking end. Like, it's a game to sit it out and see whether she breaks first or if I will, that kind of thing. And thank Christ, nothing like that happened. The best part, one of the best parts was when I first got there, we met at a cafe that was just full of these fucking new age yuppie piece of shit people. I can't stand them. It was these people who were like, this almost literally snake oil saleswoman was pitching these oils to just a room full of yentas. And part of her pitch was like, rub oregano on your feet and it will cure the flu, certain cancers, leukemia. It's like, our feet, the soles of our feet do not absorb oregano oil via osmosis, you dumb lady.
I love how people of a certain age suddenly form these tribal connections where they're just attempting to sell each other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Amway or whatever this oil thing is, or Avon or whatever, or dildos.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these various mechanisms in which you've got to, like, gather friends and then turn into a huckster.
Yep.
For that. It's a bizarre relationship.
It would end a friendship if a friend of mine did that to me. If I wasn't aware of what they were doing and they were like, hey, come over for... Because I've seen one, like these multi-level marketing scams where it's... of course, it always involves, come over to my house and I'm going to show you this awesome stuff. Like, and for dudes now, there's ones with like grillware and things like that.
Because
we're men, you know? And so you can buy a rasher of bacon from me and a scraper for your grill and shit like that.
It's like you show up and you go to the person trying to sell you stuff and be like, you realize the internet exists.
Yeah, I don't need you.
This isn't 1840 and I'm not in Nebraska and you show up on a horse from like New York with shit that blows my mind I've never seen before. That I've got the internet. I can get a lower price of what you're selling me right now. And I can have it delivered tomorrow.
Yeah. Why do I need you?
Why do I need to show up at this Starbucks? This guy walks in the door half-mast, turns me on. I'm snail trailing.
So these broads are all yip-yapping like broads are wont to do. This lady's,
you
like,
know how women are.
Just jibba jabbing all over the place.
They just can't shut up.
This lady literally says, I wrote this down in my notebook here. She says, all these oils and things are from plants from God. And then...
As opposed to the godless plants.
Yeah, the devil's plants.
Like the fern.
And skunk cabbage, because it stinks. She goes on to say, and this is indicative of the type of person we're dealing with. I always think of what I can do for myself before going to a doctor. And begins to go on talking about a $100 bottle of oil that yields $2 per drop. I mean, what in the fuck is this lady trying to sell these people? And the thing is these people were just eating it all up. She was like Angelica Houston in The Witches, full of a convention of other witches, and it was just disgusting. I wanted to puke. And here's why this date, it began amazing. The girl walks in, she sees where I'm sitting, and I'm engaged in this back and forth between these people. She sits down next to me, hears what these people are saying, and she was like, are you for fucking real? And I go, this is happening right now in front of us. These people exist in our world. This is happening. And we promptly moved to a quieter table where we talked for 5 hours straight, no interruption, but also possibly not romance. It was very difficult to gauge. I mean, was this going to end on the friendship tip? Or is this going to be, you know, something that builds slowly and gradually into something worthwhile? I think, in a way, there is the possibility that the latter is what's going to happen. It's going to be a slow build, and I'm okay with that. I like that kind of stuff. So, to all the fans wondering how my date went, it was, it exceeded my expectations.
In the back of your mind, before a date, because you've been doing online dating, in the back of your mind, on each date, are you thinking, what if this is just all bullshit? Does that ever enter your mind?
If what's all bullshit? The girl,
just,
like...
Yeah, just like the whole... I carried with me this grand suspicion about all this. And it might be because of all of the trolling I've borne witness to, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Having written about it and whatnot. But I'm always thinking, like, this would be so easy to troll and get people to show up places and fuck with them that I'm always wondering if suddenly I'm the victim of it.
It has crossed my mind. In this case, it didn't. And I guess it was mostly because we had already communicated beforehand. And I guess I have good sense about this, because I think I would be able to tell if somebody was really trolling me, especially in the buildup to meeting in person. I think that there's a lot of signals that can be given off via just the text messaging or the emails that are sent back and forth. If somebody is exceptionally compatible with me, that's already something that I can tell is not... That's not normal. Nobody should be 99% my match. It's impossible. I'm totally fucked up. I'm a completely depraved and disgusting human being. You cannot possibly be 99% my match. So I'm already, like, getting rid of those people. That doesn't exist. And I think you and I talked about how the sweet spot is that 80 to 90% match on those sites. And then from there, I'm able to feel it out. I just didn't... And then I went into it also thinking, if she stood me up, I guess I don't give a shit, because the consolation prize is I get to listen to these dingy broads talk about their oil. And that's kind of... That was fun for me. I got to write about it and drink some tea, so... Hey! This podcast is 10 minutes into it, and we haven't even introduced ourselves. I feel like that's rude. My name's Chris.
My name's Tanner.
Welcome to another edition of Super Dumb Games. I would like to get off the topic of dating and get on the topic of games. The first thing I would like to announce is that I had a really incredible night with a man last night. Friend of the show, Endless Analingus, was over my house, and he and I played this console. I don't know if you know about this thing. It's like a tri-console that allows you to play NES, SNES, and Genesis games.
No.
It's incredible. And so he brought over the console. We hooked it up. I played Castlevania, and I did awesome in Castlevania. I was exceptionally great in it, and then the fucking game froze. It was so frustrating. We double-teamed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The arcade, the one that's, I think it's TMNT Arcade or whatever it was for Nintendo.
So what, this is this some Chinese made It plays, so you use the actual carts?
Yeah, exactly. I believe it is called, it's called either the Retron 3. Yes, it's the Retron 3 by Hyperkin. It's $50 and it plays the classic carts and you hook in the classic controllers. So when we were playing a Genesis game, I put in a Genesis controller.
Weird.
No, it's incredible. And when I was playing Nintendo games, when he and I were playing, we were both using regular Nintendo controllers. It was awesome. You can buy them for $50. He got it at some boutique near a mall around here.
Yeah, that sounds like one of those things in those broke ass toy shops. You yeah. go to the mall and it's all of the toys you're familiar with but just not quite right.
It was cool though. I mean, and he said though they were selling the carts, and they actually at this boutique they had a station where if you brought in your old gaming system or whatever, they had like a cleanup station and they would go through with specialty tools and make sure that when they were getting ready to, because they were going to resell it, so they would go through and refurbish it right there and make it look pristine. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I lived with a smoker for my young life, and all of my, because the big fad with Nintendo systems back then was to make them that weird off-white.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of a lifespan of one of those things, it was just yellow as fuck. And I've heard that you can create some substance that you massage into the console and then you leave it in the sun and it like transforms it or something. It's a kind of bleach compound that, but it requires the power of the sun.
But isn't that just like cosmic? It's like bleaching your anus, honestly.
Which I've done. And
sure.
I feel like it made me a better person. I feel more confident.
So we played the Retron 3 video game system, and it was awesome. I also played, last week I sort of talked about how there's now this gentleman's pinball challenge, and I invited you to it. You completely blew it. You did not even care about it at all. the Google Drive document that was once pristine and formatted suddenly became a delightful array of images. That were just ridiculous.
That wasn't me. I didn't put those images in.
Oh, okay. Well, I started
with the image. I did in the spreadsheet take your score and just add one to it. I did a...
and if you notice, the new formula that is input in that cell is you take the sum of mine and just I put a negative on it. So I'm
currently at -905,000.
That's right. And your rank is -1 in out of the four people playing. But what was cool, and we've talked about creating new games out of games, like just out of boredom. And so with this game, like I already posted the high score the very first day. And so we created a side bet, which was who can get the most points on Double Dribble for the Nintendo with the computer on level 3, 5-minute quarters. So basically you get blown out by the computer no matter what, but you have to see how many points you can score. So that was the first side bet. I won that as well with 37 points, even though the computer scored about 70 against me. But then we got bored with that. So we decided that the side bet, and you weren't included on this because you don't take this seriously and you're out. But the new thing with the side bet is I made a, it was a roulette wheel, basically, of consequences. It's called the side bet roulette. And it has little things like that can happen. So even if I took first place in the side bet, the roulette wheel might say, you know, first place deducts 500,000 points from their top score. So it can suddenly move you from first place to last place and shit like that. Or it'll say, you know, first place decides next week's game. I believe one of the things was first is the worst. You lose a day of pinball. Second is the best. Double your day one score. Third is a nerd. Take the square root of your high score. That's your new score, nerd. First place is feeling charitable. Donate your lowest leaderboard score to whomever is in last place. Shit like that. And then it got downright dumb. Second place has to create a Cafe Mom account. Provide proof. First post is pics of genitalia. See how long it takes you to get banned. Third place signs up for classmates.com. Report any viruses your PC gets. Just stupid shit. Anyway, that was my week in gaming. What have you been doing?
So I played one of my most anticipated releases, Octodad Dadliest Catch.
Yes.
Which just recently came out on Steam, and I think it's coming out on PS4 later in the year. And an Octodad, you're an octopus who's a dad that's undercover, essentially. There's a theme song that kind of tells the story pretty well in that nobody suspects a thing. So you're kind of, you go around as a dad, but an octopus, trying to keep undercover so that no one realizes you're actually an octopus and not a real dad. And it's kind of quappish, if you're familiar with that, the Q-W-O-P.
Yeah. Yeah, where you gotta make the runner go using the,
Yeah, it's in that genre of overly complex and broken controls.
Okay.
So imagine that you have tentacles that stick to things and also can't quite support your weight really well. And then what they do is they place you in a bunch of dad-like scenarios. And you have to try and navigate through them without looking completely stupid.
What's a dad-like scenario?
So the game begins at your wedding.
Okay.
And you've got to get dressed and walk down the aisle.
All right.
And present the ring and all that. And then...
That's hilarious.
And then you've got to... You're back at home with your family, and it's kind of a traditional 1950s sort of family. And you've got to make coffee, grill hamburgers, mow the lawn, weed the garden, chop wood. And then the part that I left off at, I was at the supermarket, and I had to collect a bunch of items from the supermarket. But of course, everything you do is horrible. You know, like, you can't quite grab things, so when you do... They've made sure to make all the objects movable and grabbable. So you end up just strewing stuff all about. And people are commenting. And it's a pretty fun experience. I think it's a great comedy premise. So the situation you're in and the things you're doing are funny and just make comedy happen. The writing and the aesthetic of the game... leave a little bit to be desired. It's not what the characters say isn't all that funny, and it becomes a little bit annoying after a while. But it's such a unique kind of thing, and it's such a perfect dumb game that I would recommend people investigate it at least, and maybe even check it out and purchase it, because if you're a fan of this podcast, this is the kind of thing this podcast is looking to support and champion, because I think focusing in gaming on how games are often broken and stupid and then making that the central idea of the game is a wonderful trend that's been happening lately with indie games, and I want to see more of it, and I think this is a great example of it. But it also got me thinking about games that are legitimately funny. So games that have made you laugh in the past. And what I would like to do is come back in the third segment after the news and really drill down into experiences we've had in the past of games that were legitimately funny or games that tried to be funny and weren't, and just kind of uncover the past of comedy in games.
Please don't kill another wasteland. You won't get the chance to tunnel through or bend another kickstand. You infuriate me when you crash and contract tuberculosis. You should take care of your lungs before your knees and all that quicksand
gaming news. What's dropping? This is a game I've heard about. I thought was already out, but maybe it just recently got a Steam release. I don't know. It's called Saturday Morning RPG, released on January 29th, 2014, developed and published by Mighty Rabbit Studios. This motherfucker's out on all computer-based platforms. But not Commodore. Have you heard about this game, Chris? Saturday Morning RPG?
No. Does it have anything to do with, like, Saturday morning cartoons or something?
Well, here's the thing. So it does, but it doesn't.
Okay.
It's basically a JRPG with the, you know, traditional turn-based combat, all that kind of thing. But it's set in a world like Saturday morning 1980s cartoons, but not real cartoons.
I guess
because they can't pay the licensing.
Yeah, I was going to say the licensing would be incredibly absorbent to pay for.
So what it looks like to me is they take things like G.I. Joe and He-Man and even stuff like, what was that gum with the zebra?
Oh, Fruit Stripe Gum?
Yeah, they have zebras from that in it.
Wow.
There's the DeLorean.
Okay. What about like gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere? Hi, Adventure, that's beyond compare. We are the gummy bears.
I would say they're probably in here, but if you look at the screenshots, we'll link to it on the show notes, everything looks kind of like their analogs, but not quite. The character is called Marty Michael Hall. You
know? like Marty McFly and Anthony Michael Hall or whatever his name is.
Yeah, so this will fit in with our next segment, the comedy and games. You know, this is a common, I think, trope in video game comedy, which is just blatant parody gone wild. The thing that really impressed me about it is that they got, quote, legendary composer, end quote, Vince DiCola and his composing partner, Kenny Meredith, to do the score for this game.
I don't know these guys.
So Vince DiCola was the composer on Transformers the Animated Movie and Rocky IV.
Oh, hey, he is a bit famous.
And Kenny Meredith did DuckTales, Power Rangers, X-Men cartoons.
Damn, those are some... this guy comes with some credentials.
Yeah, so while the game, I think, looks fairly lame, the soundtrack sounds exactly like, you know, your favorite 80s movies. It's got the, you're the powers of business, world of fire, you know, and then guitar riffs and squeals and all that stuff is there in this game by one of the guys who did that for a living in the 80s, which is kind of cool, I think. And I miss that. So I miss going to see a movie and anticipating the training montage.
Mm-hmm.
And associated song designed just for that movie and that montage. I miss that 80s trope. I don't know why that went away. So your top sizzlers for the week, as per usual, feature many a Nintendo story.
Oh, God. I mean, things are going south for Nintendo based on this week's news. So
Nintendo is the best purveyor of dumb news. They are the best at it.
I don't even think PS4 and Xbox One have to send out any press releases anymore. Nintendo just keeps digging themselves deeper and deeper, while these guys just let people buy their systems and nobody gives a shit about any of the news coming out from them.
So news broke this last week. This is on gimmegimmegames.com. Fans of the show should know that our crack Super Dumb Games news team is trolling through the top sites on the internet, including Gimme Gimme Games. So Kevin Femmel uncovered last week that Nintendo worked on a phone in 2004 that never came out.
Like a cell phone, a proper cell phone, or a gaming phone?
Both. So they partnered with Sidekick. Do you remember Sidekick?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
It's funny to think back to these phones that existed and now are completely outmoded. But when the iPhone came out, you know, all of those old phones suddenly were wholly obsolete. But the Sidekick used to be the kind of hot thing.
Sure, yeah.
So Nintendo was in talks with Sidekick to create a Game Boy Sidekick hybrid that would essentially have a virtual console on it, and you would be able to download and play Game Boy games using your Sidekick.
Wow. See, that's alluring to me, because I love Game Boy games.
Yeah, that might have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't do it. I didn't read enough of the story.
Why would you? I mean, it's only the news that we're reading here, you asshole.
So the second Nintendo story of the week, another great Nintendo hardware story. Rumor has it that Nintendo will release a new platform in 2015 or 2016, but it wouldn't be a console. So the rumor had, I guess Nintendo gave a presentation in Tokyo where Satoru Iwata, who's the Nintendo president, hinted at a health-based Nintendo platform.
I did see the headline for this, but isn't that what the fucking Wii Fit was all about? I mean, what are they doing? They're just going back to the same shit, it sounds like. How is this going to revolutionize anything?
Yeah, so it could be a kind of new, maybe standalone Wii Fit. I mean, the Wii Fit sold like mad for them. There's also the rumors. Do you recall at one of their E3 press conferences, they showed off a vitality sensor?
No. What is a vitality sensor?
So this was a famous Nintendo moment when Iwata or someone got up on stage and showed off this little like heart-shaped, I don't know what, one of those things you get stuck on your chest when your heart, you know, heart rate monitor thing when you're at a hospital. It was something like that.
Echocardiogram thing.
Yeah. So they showed off one of those as if it was a legitimate product that was coming for the Wii that you'd stick on yourself. And while you're using your Wii Fit or something, it would display your heart rate.
It would show that your heart rate maybe crests at 120. Maybe.
That might have been why it never came out, because yeah. No one that uses a Wii Fit has ever raised their heart rate. In fact, the Wii Fit probably, if you measure someone's heart rate on the Wii Fit, they could be declared dead.
Yeah.
So,
oh, shit.
There, we don't know what it's going to be, but supposedly it's going to come out. And the story finishes off saying that since Suzanne Somers is tapped out with the Thighmaster, that they've decided to partner with another step-by-step person to promote this device.
Cody?
They're going with Cody.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, so, shit. He knows some martial arts, dude.
So Cody is going to be the pitch man for this new Nintendo console, because, of course, when you're looking to pitch some kind of fitness product, you can't go beyond the step-by-step cast. But so that ends our Nintendo news for the week. And I've got to say that I love Nintendo. I don't want them to go away. As much as I make fun of them, I love that their brand of Japanese craziness exists. I love that they're making hardware. I love that they're thinking of this crazy stuff. It's fucking wonderful. It's super dumb and it's great. They're like, Nintendo's like the grandparents of the console war in a way. Like, you get a Christmas gift from them every year.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, it makes no sense whatsoever. You know, like, you want the latest phone, like a Motorola Razr, and they get you a beeper or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like Doc Brown, just sort of making inventions and seeing what actually, you know, eventually gets you Back to the Future.
Yeah,
know?
and that one time out of 10, they hit it out of the park. Final top sizzler. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon director wanted to make a game about a Jewish kleptomaniac and a farting and vomiting astronaut.
What do the two have in common? Why is this an SAT question?
Those are two different games.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That he pitched.
Okay.
So the first game was a knowingly offensive stealth comedy titled So Jew Wanna Be a Thief.
It's a dumb pun for a dumb game premise already. Go on.
And this genius came up with the idea that you'd be a Hasidic Jew and you'd go around trying to steal stuff, and it would have this mechanic where you'd have to fit things in your coat, and if things were located together, they'd clank around. It's fucking crazy. It's, you know what, the theme of this whole show is gonna be bad comedy, because it's like this guy wants to be funny, but this just doesn't even make sense. It's bizarre. And then his other pitch was Captain Uranus.
It's so dumb. It's not even, why am I laughing at that?
You try to navigate space by farting and vomiting as a propulsion mechanism.
I swear I've played a game that does similar things to that. I swear there's a game that's done that before. So that doesn't even sound original to me.
This is a guy that made a game, a big budget game for a major, maybe the second largest publisher. This guy is working in the games industry. Just wrap your mind around that.
I can't, because, listen, if I walked into a room with executives for whatever game company and I said, I've got an idea for a game. It's called Moyle Simulator 2014. We bring the covenant of circumcision to baby dicks in this game. Like, and it's all Jewish related. And nobody would take me seriously. But this guy's pitching something similar to that by tapping into some stereotype of the Jewish culture. It's just silly to me. And how is this guy, is he still around? I mean, was he?
Yeah. His game was pretty successful. It was Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. And it was, you know, what you'd expect from a guy like this. It was supposedly a take on 80s action movies, really heavy-handed humor, very, mm-hmm. very over the top. You know, there's no subtlety in games.
That's a game I wouldn't laugh at, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, if Ubisoft ever fires this guy, clearly he's got a job like scripting the sleepover conversations of 10-year-old boys. Because the kind of shit he's pitching is the stuff that I may have laughed at when I was 8.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, he's basically on a trajectory to make the next Night Trap video game.
Yeah. So we always finish up with fan favorite segment, Hot Off the Wire, your top stories from the PR Newswire. It's been dry as fuck.
Unlike those stools that I talked about in the opening segment, which are just littered with the crud from crotches. Go on.
I don't know what the deal is with the PR Newswire, but it just, there's tons of stories about gambling. So when I search for games, it's all new slot machine releases.
And who gives a shit? We talked about that in like episode 2. And nobody gives a fuck about these. Slot machine games are boring. They're dull. I don't care.
Yeah. So following up our tradition that we launched in episode whatever the fuck with Nelly. I've got another sports-related thing, event-related story here about the Super Bowl. Because the Super Bowl is blowing up the PR Newswire. Every goddamn company is sending out a press release about their new ad or whatever. So this week, we've got this stunner. Axe Hair, that's Axe of the Axe Body Spray brand, teams up with football stars Eric Decker and AJ McCarron to up their style game with new gels.
While they're wearing they're going to be wearing helmets. Why do I give a shit what they look like?
When they're off the field.
Are these two, I don't even know who they are. Are they on either the Broncos or the Seahawks? Is that why they're pitching this? Or are they from a different team?
I think I've heard of AJ McCarron. I think he's a quarterback on a college
team. Yeah, he's
team.
From Alabama, I see. Okay.
I'm assuming Eric Decker is the same. I don't know.
Looks like he's a wide receiver on the Broncos, so he's actually in the game this Sunday.
So this news breaking out of Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, star athletes know that even when the stadium lights go down, the spotlight never dims. And looking their best off the field is almost as important as their play on it. Not really. Even for two of the most stylish football players in the world, Eric Decker and AJ McCarron, who's making that list? And I want to see it. The mere mention of hair gel products can conjure up memories of boy bands and awkward high school haircuts. That's why they're partnering with Axe Hair to introduce a new line of gels with 24-hour hold. That lasts long past the post-game press conference and make all the stickiness, flakes, and crunch of old overgelled styles a thing of the past.
This is disgusting regardless. How much product do you put in your hair? I mean, seriously, what guys are putting that much product in their hair? It's your fucking hair. Let it be whatever it's going to be.
A little dab will do
that's ya. Right. That's right.
Wait, this story continues. Ugh. After hanging up his college helmet for good, quarterback A.J. McCarron is eyeing the next phase of his career and his personal style. As he looks toward his fast-approaching pro football career, Axe Hair has transformed McCarron's signature clean-cut look into a tousled Matt style with all day old.
I think one of these two needs to take a trip to Supercoots and see exactly what's doing with the regular Joe, you know, with regular Joes like us. This is beyond me. I don't style my hair like these people. This is an ad that is not directed toward me at all. Speaking of ads, though, are you pumped for the Super Bowl? Because that's all I care about are those funny commercials.
I just watch it for the commercials.
It's so funny when they got a guy, like, tackling people, and he's in an office.
Yeah, how many people are going to get tackled through cubicles?
Yeah, it's stupid. It's stupid, and it's demeaning. It's beneath my intellect. Get out of my face. Let me just watch men in tight-fitting outfits with pads crunch each other's faces.
I don't know about everyone else, though, but I can now sleep good at night knowing that superstar A.J. McCarron's signature clean-cut look is transitioning into a tousled Matt style.
Yeah. I mean, because that shows a bit more of a carefree attitude. He's cutting loose, you know, after college ball.
Thank you, Axe Hair Messy Look Matt Hold Gel, for making sure A.J. McCarron's on point style-wise, on and off the field. And that is your news. Continuing on this episode's theme of comedy and building off of my play of Octodad this week, I've been thinking a lot about how or how not video games succeed in the comedy genre. And overall, I think video games have been really bad at being funny.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think back, especially to the early days of games, comedy was almost absent entirely. There was, you know, in certain text adventures, there were some little funny lines here and there, but it really took, I think, the first funny games that I can remember enjoying, at least from a humorous perspective, were Tim Schafer's adventure games at LucasArts.
Okay.
You know, the Maniac Mansions, Monkey Islands. Those kinds of games really took comedy on as almost their modus operandi in a way, and used silliness primarily as their vehicle, which isn't generally my kind of comedy, but when I was seven, was.
Now, for me, I'm going to actually go back a little bit earlier to around 1986, and I played a lot of these games, the Infocom games, which were text-based adventures that you would play.
Yeah, that's what I was kind
and
of...
And so
yeah.
the one that stands out to me was Leather Goddesses of Phobos, which was a game that was all about being naughty and lewd and had hypersexuality. And for a kid, I was like all of 5 years old. You know, when you're playing these games, it was hilarious. And they came with scratch and sniff things and stuff like that. So it was a whole experience of you're playing the text, but then you had the feelies that came with it and the smelling, you know, you were able to scratch and sniff. And the text itself, I actually thought was funny. Now, I haven't played that game in 25 years, but I think it was legitimately funny. And for its time, Even, what's that game? Leisure Suit Larry. That's another one of those games that I think came out that was trying very hard to be funny. I don't necessarily think it worked, Leisure Suit Larry, but Leather Goddess is a Phobos for me was one.
But see, those games were like, I always think in film analogs, and they were like the Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know,
but, and that's all we could get with games, was that kind of level of comedy. It wasn't until, I would say, well, if I'm going to track it, I would say there was a period after, or maybe right around the Tim Schafer adventure games, where the silliness upgraded or maybe made a lateral move to stuff like Earthworm Jim and Gex, where it was all about, and this is what Saturday Morning RPG is trying to do, it was all about parodying and riffing on familiar things as a way to try to make you laugh. It, you know, where it's, you just make a reference and you hope that that reference is enough to elicit a smile or something.
Yeah, I mean, Earthworm Jim, it really tapped in, especially at the time, to the fact that we loved Sam Raimi and, like, Evil Dead and stuff like that. So he would say, like, groovy and stuff. It, you know, he was tapping into pop culture, which is, of course, what Gex did as well.
And when you think about it, that isn't funny.
No, but
it's they're just trying to say, well, it was funny in that other movie, so now that I'm saying it, can you laugh thinking about that other thing?
Right. But, like, what else did he say? He's in Earthworm Jim 2, I've got a list of things. And so, having defeated the nefarious Cycrow, our hero Earthworm Jim is reunited with the lovely Princess What's-Her-Name. Oh, that really...
But when you're 11...
It works.
That might hit, you know?
It did. It worked. I think, too, if we're bringing up games that weren't... I think there's some inadvertently funny games, and it required a little bit of creativity on the part of the player. I would even lump in a game such as Oregon Trail as a funny game because you could name your people in your crew, so that way when they died, something funny would pop up, and then you could put a funny epitaph on the tombstone and make all your friends laugh. Because you were hooked up in a network of computers and they would pass you on the trail and you'd be making people laugh about, like, the funny tombstone they just passed where you said, here lies poop, you know, he came out of my butt. And everyone's like, ha ha, you know, that was hilarious, poop.
Yeah,
in your
that
butt.
Was a classic school joke. I feel like everyone did that.
Yep.
There wasn't a kid that didn't make ridiculous names for Oregon Trail. But when I was alone and playing Final Fantasy or something, I always... gave them real names.
Cool names.
Yeah, I couldn't, I knew a lot of people who would name them Butt and whatever, but I couldn't do it. I get so into the story of those games, because I'm a moron, that I want their names to be real, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think there is a sort of golden age of these games, and I would posit that it existed maybe between 96 and 99, maybe, where... You know, again, you'd have a game like Earthworm Jim or something, but even games like Roller Coaster Tycoon, again, inadvertently funny, but a game where you would create roller coaster rides that ended up killing the people going on the rides, or you would drown patrons into your park. And to this day, I still watch somebody who streams Roller Coaster Tycoon parks on Twitch, and it's hilarious, the stuff that he does. It makes me laugh. And games like You Don't Know Jack, which is testing trivia, that was a game that was specifically made to be funny as a party game.
And The Sims, I think, in the same vein as Roller Coaster Tycoon, a lot of people have used The Sims as a kind of death and torture simulator.
It's a sandbox simulator of how to kill people by fire and things like that.
But can you think of games more recently that have worked as comedy for you?
Well, this is a game I actually haven't played, but I own, and I think I've seen enough of gameplay to say that there's comedy in it. I'm not saying it's hilarious, but Saints Row has really made a consolidated effort to be the funny version of Grand Theft Auto. Even though Grand Theft Auto is one of the games I would include, I would say Vice City was a funny game, especially since they employed comedians as the voice actors in a lot of the missions. But Saints Row is really trying to separate themselves and have kind of like that shock value humor to it. that I think works for some people. I'm not saying it works for me because I haven't played through the games, but for some people that I know, they think it's funny. They get a kick out of it.
Saints Row is one of those things that I don't laugh out loud when I play, but I respect the effort and enjoy what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So, and I love that it exists, especially with, because Grand Theft Auto, I think at a certain place in time, and I think Vice City is a good place to locate it, Grand Theft Auto kind of touched on something with their satire, and it was new and fresh and interesting. But now playing through Grand Theft Auto 5, it feels like the same thing that they were doing 10 years ago that they're still doing, and it doesn't have the same bite.
Yeah.
Or I think maybe my tastes have evolved and I want something a bit more clever. And I think of a game like Portal 2.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. Yeah. That's clever humor. That's different. Yeah.
Which is the big difference between why Portal 2 is actually legitimately funny and Grand Theft Auto 5 isn't, is because Portal 2 has a funny character or characters.
Yeah. And they're written for, you know, like to be. They have proper writing behind them and proper voice acting as well.
Yeah. So you, like, Wheatley is a funny thing, a character that you get to know and is funny because of who he is. Whereas with Grand Theft Auto V, the characters are kind of funny, but not written as adeptly with the same level of joke telling that I think Portal 2 has, which to me, it might be the one of the top funniest games that I've ever played.
A friend of the show, Casey, mentioned that the games Psychonauts, Papers, Please, and Kerbal Space Program, to him, are some of the more recent releases that he found funny. Now, yeah. Kerbal, you know, Kerbal is funny because it's got the cute little Kerbals, the characters. But then you also, I've found some really funny videos of people just totally beefing it when they make a space shuttle. And that's hilarious. Papers, Please is meant to be humorous because, you know, you see the way that people are walking. Like, they're high-stepping it through the forest while they're searching for you and stuff like that. It's very like an elastic animation to it.
Kind of Monty Python-esque or something.
Yeah, which actually Monty Python released games, which, again, were overtly meant to be funny. And I'm trying, you know, a game like Duke Nukem, that was another game that was brought out. And it was based entirely on the sayings that you would hear from Duke Nukem or a poster you might see in the background that might make you laugh.
It was really interesting with that latest Duke Nukem disaster, how that humor, you know, it got aged out. It worked at a certain place and time in game culture and just no longer was effective.
Yeah. But I'm interested too, because we were talking about games not designed to be funny, but like that do have humor in it. There are a lot of sandbox games like, for instance, Skyrim has moments where it's a mission that's kind of, it's silly, or there's a character who's aloof. But it brought me back to a specific event that happened to us in an MMO, which was when we fought the eyeball in EQ2, I think it was. It might have even been the original EQ. Do you remember that?
It was the original EQ.
Yeah, and we were fighting this eyeball, and it was me, you, and our friend Joe Pye, and maybe Byron, who we've mentioned on the podcast. And you were fighting it, and I believe the hit song Black Betty was playing in the background, which made it...
There's a game that got released recently that I heard had that song in it.
Huh.
It may have been Saints Row. Community Bin, correct me on this. But I think Black Betty actually came out, and it reminded me of that moment where we were, like, at death's door. Mayhem was breaking loose, and that game just happened to... you up on my Winamp.
Yeah, Ram Jam comes up.
You know, I was thinking that I think we're on the precipice of a comedy revolution in games. I think it's one of those things in games that hasn't been fully realized and I think is going to be with the indie movement. Because I think with indie games, we're getting a lot more talented writers and funny people into game development. And I'm seeing things that are kind of reflective on gaming culture come out. Things like Frog Fractions, which is absolutely brilliant.
Is that like Koala Karts?
In a way it is, but it's a critique of that stuff.
Okay.
So Frog Fractions, I'd recommend everyone play. Frog Fractions has a whole other thing to it that you have to discover, and I don't want to spoil it for people, but once you do, it's going to blow your fucking minds.
Okay.
And if you find yourself playing it for like 15 minutes and shit hasn't gotten fucking crazy yet, then look up a walkthrough or whatever. But that's a great game, I think, that is making fun out of games in a really funny way. And then Bubsy 3D, which I talked about on my awards special, is a super funny, very simple game that's also taking what's dumb about games and using that as a platform for humor. And I think that going forward is going to be a huge thing in games. I'm really looking forward to it. I think Octodad's a good example. Quap is as well. Mm-hmm. Even with my complaints about Octodad's writing.
And by the way, with regard to Black Betty being used in games, the last game I see that it was ever used in was Rayman Origins, which I believe you played.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that are... Yeah, I did play... It's Origins and not Legends?
It says it was in Origins, but it says that it was a... it's a cover of it, and it's in one of the game's many musical levels. It is similar to the Ram Jam version, but with the lyrics replaced with Rayman-esque gibberish and similar instrumentation to the rest of the composer Christoph Harrell's score, though the song's signature response lyric is intact.
I love that fucking franchise. The fact that that is the franchise that has that game and it makes complete sense, and I love it.
That game actually made me laugh watching you guys play it, but I think it had a lot to do with the gameplay and watching somebody beef it while they're trying to make it to the end of the level.
So I think that's going to do it for this week.
Do what you're supposed to. Rate us, love us, blow us.
Big announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pregnant.
Who's the father?
That chick you went out on a date with.
Oh no! Was she a chick? That's the question.
The Splatterhouse 2 videos are up on YouTube. So go to youtube.com/superdumbgames. There is a Splatterhouse 2 playlist. You can also go to superdumbgames.com, go to browse shows. There's a link there as well. Subscribe to us on all relevant social media sites. Our Tumblr's blowing up
again.
Rate and review us on iTunes. We'd appreciate it.
There's nothing else. We're out.
Dumb games.